It's time for the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour, talk radio for scale modelers. Sponsored by Grex Airbrush, the evolution in perfection. This is episode 61, published April 17th, 2013. This week we're talking what to do with the stash. We'll meet this week's guest, Justin Lenz, right after this message from our sponsor, Grex Airbrush. If you're like me, you want an airbrush that is reliable, easy to clean, and more importantly, comfortable in your hand. One that is intuitive to use, which gives you greater control as you apply paint to your model. Whether you have excellent dexterity or have stiffness and limited mobility, then the Grex Tritium series is something you need to experience for yourself. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who find the pistol grip and trigger action design the answer whether doing fine, delicate work or spraying broad strokes to cover large areas. Grex offers a full line of airbrushes, spray guns, compressors, paints, and accessories. Grex Airbrush is the evolution in perfection. Find out for yourself by visiting them online at grexairbrush.com or by calling 626-289-7618 today. Everybody at some point in time finds the need to lighten the load of the stash, whether that means get rid of a few kits or a lot of kits or everything in the stash. And joining me on this episode, a friend of ours from down south in Texas, Justin, you found yourself in a situation where you became the go-to guy for somebody else who had a stash.
Yeah, I sure did. I have a buddy of mine who is a painter who happened to be working next door to a lady whose husband unfortunately had a stroke, and he did pass away here recently, but she needed some help. She knew that he had a couple of model airplanes is basically all she knew, and so it was upstairs, you know, and she's not able to really get up to where he had had all this stuff stashed, and so she had called me. My buddy, you know, said, well, you know, I know somebody who knows something about model airplanes, so I you know, went out there and I told her I'd help her out. You know, I didn't know what I was really getting myself into. I climbed up this ladder, couldn't find lights, and tromped around this dusty old attic and turned on a light. And I mean, there's 500 kits just sitting there. And I was kind of like, well, maybe these aren't that good. But I mean, we're talking, you know, all the accurate miniatures ones, a whole bunch of classic airframes kits, just a whole bunch of, I mean, just a wide variety of kits that, I mean, I knew that she had, you know, a whole bunch of stuff there, and I mean, she knows nothing about it. And I mean, I know about them. However, I'm not a huge collector. I buy them and I build them. So, yeah, that's just where I am right now. I've got, you know, close to probably about 450 kits that I'd like to move for this lady. Really, I'm selling them for her. I'm not making anything out of this deal. I mean, she's given me a few kits here and there as payment, and I really feel like I need to help her out. Where I am, and it was just kind of a cool deal for me to end up being able to help her. So, anyway, that's where I'm at, Joe.
Well, you know, we talked about this on a previous episode. You know, what happens to your stash when you're gone? Now, some people say, I don't care. I'm not around. It won't bother me. But, you know, this is a situation where the lady has lost her husband and has his stash and really no family members that want it. What do you do with it? Well, fortunately, she found somebody that could help out, and that's what I think a lot of people end up turning to is friends of family or just friends, or even sometimes just perfect strangers to try to help them find a home to, you know, for all these models that the person has collected over the years.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, that's exactly, and I'm a complete stranger to this lady, you know, and I mean, we've gotten to know each other, you know, just through you know, spending time together while, you know, we're talking about what we're going to do and how she wants to do it. And I mean, she's basically left it up to me. And so I'm hoping that, you know, through the magic of, you know, the internet and radio, et cetera, podcasts, whatever, that I can get the word out enough so we can get some of these kits moved, get them off, you know, get them out of the storage area she's got, and just, I don't know, just get some money back in her hands. I mean, you know, she's not hurting financially in any way, I guess you could say, but, I mean, everybody, I think whenever a situation like this pops up, to be able to, you know, gain financially, it'd be good for her. And so I'm just trying to help her out as best I can, in any way that I can, really.
And really, this is a step towards closure. You know, this is a detail that you have to take care of.
Yep. Yep.
When something does happen to a loved one, you know, okay, what do I do with the old car? What do I do with all of his fishing stuff? What do I do with this? What do I do with that? Well, this is just another part of that person's life that you want to, you know, take care of, get it off your list of things to do, so you can go about the healing process.
Yep.
This can either be a good thing. Again, if you get it taken care of properly, it's a good thing for her. But it also doesn't sit there and act as a reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Every day, you know, we've stashed all these kits at her work, and you know, she goes up there. And I mean, she's a strong lady, but at the same time, you can tell it's killing her to see, you know, I mean, all this old stuff of his just kind of hanging around. And so, if I can move them for her, man, I'd really like to. So. I mean, I don't know if you would like me to give my email address or how you want this to work or what. And maybe some of your listeners can, you know, just hit me up, and I'd love to send the list out, and we can, you know, worry about it. However, I've got some basic prices on there. I kind of went through eBay and, you know, kind of averaged out what I thought would be fair. I mean, I'm open to offers. You know, I'd really not like to get a whole lot of low balls, just for the very fact that, you know, I mean, this is good. This money's going to her. It's not really going to me. And I'd like to get her as much as possible just so that she can, you know, like you say, it can, you know, we can close kind of this chapter of the wrap up. I mean, she's got, you know, she's selling a business. She's selling cars. She's selling guns. I mean, there's all kinds of things she's having to just get rid of that she knows nothing about. You know, she's been an insurance saleswoman, should I say, for years. And I mean, she knows, I mean, how rare is it seems down here, anyway, that it's rare that people even know anything about a model airplane. So,
well, anyway. I would say if you want to give out an email address that people can contact you at, we'll be my guest. We'll also include that in the show post, so people can click on it and get to you. But cool. If you want to go ahead and give that, you can do it right now.
Yeah. Just send me an email. It's Justin D as in dog. It's not actually my middle name, but just the letter D. Lentz@gmail.com. So it's JustinDLentz@gmail.com. And just, you know, send something in the subject line, you know, like regarding model airplanes or something like that, just so I can, you know, pop to that real quick and get that off to you.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, Justin's doing this to help somebody else. You know, he's doing somebody a big favor. And if we can help them, and I know there's probably, you have a list, I know, and you could probably email that list to these people once they contact you.
Oh, yeah.
And then they can scrutinize the list and say, hey, put me down for, you know, these items, and then you can start negotiating over that.
Well, certainly. And I mean, if we're trying to keep it, you know, continental U.S., but I have no problem shipping internationally if I can get all the money and if all the shipping is paid, etc. I'd really like to keep it in the U.S. if I could. But, you know, if we've got somebody overseas who can pay for it and doesn't mind doing that, I have no problem figuring out how to get it to them.
You know, and like I said, you approached me this probably several weeks ago talking about this and asking for suggestions and ideas. And
right.
We actually talked quite at length one evening, different ways to sell the kits. Some of it's very labor intensive on your part,
right,
since you are the point man on this. And this is what we're talking about doing here on this program is another way of doing it. But let's kind of talk about some of the ways that, you know, people can sell kits. And that is, there's eBay, if you have time.
Mm-hmm.
There is Craigslist, if you, again, have time. Yard sales. There's if the person says, I don't really want money for it, then there's always the donation route to area clubs, veterans, Boys and Girls Clubs. There's a lot of places that would take the unbuilt kits. Then there's the, you know, have a raffle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of an estate raffle, and do it at a club meeting. Do it at a, set up a vending table at a local show and say, all proceeds go to the estate of, you know.
Right.
It's not like you're there selling your own stuff.
Yeah, so. The hard thing for me when it comes to that is, I mean, I live in Lubbock, so I'm five hours from a show. I mean, you know, you've got one in Dallas. I think you got one in San Antonio, so that's probably 6 hours. Austin's another 6 hours. I mean, everything is just so far away. There's no active club. Apparently, years ago there was one, but I'm not sure what happened to it. And, I mean, I tried, you know, I put out some flyers. Hey, anybody want to, you know, hang out and talk about models? And I've had a couple guys here and there that have, you know, they've expressed interest, and then we've had, we've just, you know, it's just so hard. It's so hard to keep going, especially when you have just two or three guys. You know, one guy's gone, so a third of the club isn't there, and then, you know, the next week two guys are gone, so there's no leading, and it's just, it's hard. It's hard where I am to find anybody who would understand what we're looking at that would, pay a fair price anyway, so. That's kind of why I'm glad that, you know, I'm able to reach out, you know, to you, or that you actually reached out to me and, you know, are helping me do this. And, if I can, you know, I may get on Hyperscale and post something. I'm just not sure how I'm going to do it yet. I know we had also talked about, you know, opening up the clubs and letting them bid on lots. I mean, that's still, I guess, a possibility. But I guess for right now, I just really like, you know, individual kits. Just throw them out there and let's see what people want, you know?
Yeah, and I'm in a situation myself right now that my stash is, I'm looking to liquidate my stash because we're going to be moving soon, and we're going to change our lifestyle. We're going to trade a dwelling for one with wheels and travel the country, and it's kind of hard to pack along a huge stash when you're either in an RV or in a motorhome, so... You know, I want to get my stash pared way down to near nothing, so that I don't have to put it in storage and let it sit. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in a situation too. You know, and over the years, and I know everybody's seen this if they haven't experienced themselves, but there's always modelers out there who, through life in general, for some reason or another, they find themselves turning to liquidate, sell off their stashes to meet financial obligations, or they're moving, or there's a divorce, or, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it happens. And you think, man, hang on to your stash, you know, and because you're not going to get what you spent. Unless you have some very rare, highly sought after kits.
Right.
That just aren't available anymore. Then you can make money on it. But, you know, you tend to not get what you spent. But, you know, I'm at this point in time where there are so many kits coming out into the market that I want to build those. I have all these, and these were cool when I got them. But now, man, some of the stuff that's coming out in 1/32nd scale and 1/48 scale, I'm like, yeah, if I had the money, I'd buy that and build that.
So maybe you could turn two or three kits you've got into one of these nice new Wonder kits or something.
Well, you know, and that's the whole thing. Change in the lifestyle means a change in the modeling style. I can't have a shelf of 20 airplanes started, or, you know, tanks, trucks, whatever I'm building, sitting there on the bench, or, you know, on the shelf of doom, as I call it. I'm going to be limited to space, you know,
right.
So I can't have that that much space allocation. So I'm going to be going back to what I was. Well, I can't even remember when I built one kit at a time.
Yeah, I've got at least, I looked through the boxes, I've probably got a stash of about, I don't know, probably 50 or 60 kits that I've come into. And it's funny, I look at it and I'm kind of embarrassed, but then I'm like, you know, but I rarely have paid more than like, you know, $10 or $15 for some of these kits that are, you know, $50 or $60, and so I don't feel too bad. But at the same time, I bet two-thirds of them are started. You know, I paint the cockpit, I get the fuselage together, and then I stick it in the box. I'm like, man, you know, I'll come back to this in a little while because I just got this other one, and I want to do that now. And I'll do the same thing, you know, for 10 or 15 different kits, and then I just completely bog down and kind of come back, and I'll finish one here and there, and then I'll start another one. I mean, I guess I'll get to them all one day, right?
Well, you hope you do. You hope you do. Right. You know, you hope you can find a time when that's all you have to do. And those people who are retired and can do that, yeah, that's great. Unfortunately, we're going to be working while we're on the road. You know, our business is we can take on the road and work from the road. So that's a blessing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, well, look at the different things in life that we've done and all the things that we've accumulated to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Scale modeling is one, you know. I got scale modeling, I got mechanics tools, I got outdoor power equipment, I got woodworking tools, I got this, I got that. And it's like, I wonder why I had to buy such a big house, because I have so much stuff.
Oh, man, that is not. Yeah, it's crazy looking. You know, I also inherited some of this guy's tools, you know, because I was like, you know, I don't know how we're going to sell, you know, 20 pairs of tweezers. You know, she goes, you know what, just put the tools in a box and take them home. You can have all that stuff. I'll give you that. And, I mean, if I ever had a move, I don't know, I'd probably just try to burn down my man cave, and I wouldn't even want to move all this crap, you know? It's crazy, all the stuff you think you need to have to do this. But, man, I couldn't imagine having to pack it up and put it in an RV or something, and then, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to have, like, two kits and that's it, and, like, a little card table that you get to pop out every once in a while, or?
Well, if you've never been an RV or a camper, you know, every surface in a camper and RV is multi-purpose. So the dinette becomes the computer workstation.
There you go.
Becomes the dinner table, breakfast table, modeling workbench, place to sit and read. I mean, you just got to adapt, you know. But, you know, it's been as stressing it is to go through and purge everything you don't need, and set aside stuff that you're going to want to sell. But you do make some discoveries. I found a few things that I forgot I had, you know, or you knew you had it, but you just didn't know where it was.
Right.
And I was going through some old files related to scale modeling. I had drawers of file drawers full of just about every instruction sheet of every model that I've ever built. And, you know, a lot of them are redundant. I had two or three copies of the same because I've built the kit two or three times. Well, I started just putting those in the recycle. But then I came across some pictures and some old newsletters from our model club here in Oshkosh, found these pictures, and it was like, wow, this is like memories, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Accurate Miniatures P-51 Mustang shootout build one time for the club. And then to see the different things that people brought, you know, their rendition of their Mustang. It mm-hmm. was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share some of those pictures, you know, on my blog. It was just this, those were just good times.
Yeah, definitely. Man, I'm jealous of that kind of stuff. I wish, you know, I grew up in Corpus Christi, and, I mean, I guess we had a little club down there, but I guess I was too young. And then once I got to be of age to go hang out with a whole bunch of model geeks, I kind of fell off the wagon, I guess. And I started playing drums, and that was kind of game over for models for a little while until I got married and moved to Lubbock, which, of course, we don't have, like I said, we don't have a club. And so for me to really hang out with anybody, I'd have to drive 5 hours, or, you know, it's just not that fun. I've heard rumors of a group in Amarillo, but, you know, again, I mean, that's 2 hours away, 2 hours for me. And, you know, as a new dad and about to have another one, it kind of cuts down on your time a little bit, so.
Well, I'm willing to bet, Justin, if you really looked around and started inquiring, I bet you'll probably find there's a few others just like you in the Lubbock area that have the same frustrations. And if you could just get together and form yourself a club,
Yeah.
There you go. You've solved the commuting problem.
Yeah.
You may not be able to specify that we're only an airplane club, we're only a car club, we're only an armor club. But hey, bring all of them in together. Bring the model railroaders in, because
yeah,
that's scale modeling too.
I
mean, the diversity of our club just tonight. Matter of fact, I just got back from our meeting tonight. There's always one of our members who brings train stuff.
Yeah.
Now he's a modeler extraordinaire. If you gave him a bar of soap and said make a 747 out of it, he'd make a 747 out of it. But his passion is model railroading, and it's also his vocation. He builds custom stuff for his clients.
That's pretty awesome.
So when he comes to the table and puts his project is he's working on, it's scratch built. And tonight he built this tank car. It's multimedia. It's made out of brass sheeting. It's made out of PVC pipe. It's made out of styrene. I could just go on of all the things that he used to make that tank car in O-gauge. Or
wow.
I think in this case, it might have been even bigger than that. It might have been G-gauge. It's all modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it all transfers to whatever category you build. Weathering, you learn weathering techniques. You can share painting techniques. And most importantly, basic assembly.
Yeah, that seems to, that seems every once in a while to kind of fall by the wayside.
And the other thing about it with our group, and this club has been in existence for more than 30 years, and, some people drive over 100 miles to come to our club because of where we are, too. We got quite a reach of commuters that come every month. But even if there wasn't a model on the table, we've become such good friends that we just enjoy the camaraderie of being together and being able to talk about models, airplanes, cars,
Mm-hmm.
So, that there is half of it as well.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, that's what I look forward to. I've got buddies, but, at the same time, I say, oh, hey, cool. So you build models, it's like, y'all aren't going to understand anything I'm talking about. so now I've got to hop on the phone or the internet, really, to get my fix. My closest model buddy right now is overseas, so I can really talk to him. But, either way, it'd be really cool if I could figure out how to do that. We've got a little model shop here in town, or a little hobby shop, maybe I just need to try again. Maybe I missed a few or something. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. If there's a store selling models and they're still in business, there's got to be some modelers.
Yeah, somewhere. Well, you've got a lot of trains in RC, too.
Well, again, don't.
Yeah.
The guys that build airplanes and stuff can teach the train guy stuff and vice versa. So,
right.
Try to break those barriers down if possible.
Right.
More of the program right after these messages. For over 65 years, Revell Incorporated and its associate companies have offered a wide variety of model kits for every taste and age group in the hobby market. A consistent level of detail and accuracy assures every modeler that the kit they buy will be the most accurate representation possible of their favorite subject, and confirms that Revell kits are the best value for the money. Revell remains committed to the foundation of the brand, interaction with products, authenticity of experience, and above all, fun. We're proud to have Revell as a supporter of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Visit Revell.com to learn more about the company and its vast product offerings. Check out Revell USA on Facebook, and be sure to like and tell them that you're a fan of the show.
You're listening to the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour talk radio show for scale modelers. This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump. If you love listening to music from the 30s and 40s and 50s, Big Band era music while you build, click on the BBJ icon here on the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour homepage, and you'll be able to listen to the latest edition of Big Band Jump. It starts whenever you click in, 24 hours a day.
That's right, Chippy. Zuron tools are the perfect choice for our hobby and craft projects. They are made here in the USA. They are quality tools that offer the highest precision as well as comfort and durability. Let's not forget about their excellent warranty. Yes, Chippy, you have your own special needs, which Zhuron Tool provides the best and most affordable solution for. And we know you demand only the very best. Zhuron Tools are available from most hobby and craft stores. Visit Zhuron.com today. Zhuron is spelled X-U-R-O-N. We want to thank Zhuron Tools for being a supporter of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour.
VideoWorkbench.com is the place to learn to build and paint model kits like an expert. Hosted by award-winning hobbyist and owner of Video Workbench, Jason Garris, his videos show how to achieve top-quality, contest-winning results and demonstrates how anyone can make great-looking scale model kits no matter the age or skill level. Join VideoWorkbench.com and Jason Garris on Facebook, YouTube, Blip.tv, and iTunes to learn the latest tips, tools, and techniques.
The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour has been generously supported by Excel Hobby Blades, manufacturer of the world's finest blades. When you need a keen and accurate cut, trust only Excel Hobby Blades. Visit your local hobby, craft, or hardware retailer for a complete selection of blades, handles, and tools today. Excel Hobby Blades, Paterson, New Jersey.
What's better than snipping sprue and sniffing glue? Life is good.
Now more of my interview with this week's guest.
Well, let me just make this comment. You know, you're talking about your modeling buddy, your closest modeling buddy is overseas. Now, one of our club members tonight mentioned, he says, you know, he's more active on computers than, say, some of the others that are in the same age category, other guys that are in the club. And he says he loves it because he now has more friends.
Yeah.
And he has friends in Florida. He has friends in California. He has friends overseas. Yep. He has friends across state. And it's so much easier to communicate over by email or in chat room or however you communicate online than it is pen and paper waiting right. for the mail, you know. Right. So he says it's just made life better, you know.
Yeah, certainly. Now I've got a buddy of mine who, you know, I mean, we used to talk quite a bit. He lives in Illinois. Never met him, never seen him, but, you know, we just started talking on the internet. I think we traded a couple kits or something, and we just, you know, I'll call him, you know, once every couple weeks just to shoot the bull and see what's up. Well, I mean, sometimes we don't even talk about models, you know. Good friend to talk to. I think we're all over the place, those model geeks, you know. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I've always called myself a model geek. I guess maybe it softens the blow whenever, you know, somebody's like, oh, you build models. Well, I did that when I was 4, you know, and it's like, well, you know, I'm just a model geek. It's okay. Maybe it kind of softens the blow, makes me feel a little better or something.
Yeah. Let me just make this mention, too. This is from our friends and show supporters, Revell USA. Big news on the horizon. Stay tuned. On May 1st, we'll be announcing our mid-year production collection of almost 40 kits. Any guesses what will be included? And that's straight from the Revell USA Facebook page. So the guys are going to be putting out the what's coming, what's new for the rest of the year here in just a few short days.
Cool.
I wonder if anybody has gotten their hands on the Trumpeter 148 scale. Well, it's an HU-16 Albatross. I like to do the SA-16 version. Of course, there's probably not much difference on the outside of the box of the airplane as there is on the inside. It's always been one of my favorite airplanes. I can always just imagine that as an RV with wings.
It would be appropriate, I think. But first, you got to get rid of all your other stuff.
Well, yeah. But, you know, you could pretty much go anywhere you wanted as long as there was either water or a runway.
Yeah.
So what are you working on, Justin?
I'm working on one of the kits that I got from this lady's late husband. I guess it's from her, really. I'm working on the old, I guess it's a Mania kit. It's a Hasegawa, it's the KI-27, that Nate kit. I don't know if you've ever built it, but man, it's a fun little kit. It's old. But, I opened the box and for some reason, I've always wanted to build this kit, and it happened to be there, and I was like, you know, that's one I'll take, and it's cool. It's got a full rivet job. I'm sure everybody's familiar with this kit, and most people are. Again, I would say in the past, like 15 years, or is really the kits, most of the kits I have were made in the past 15 years, and I've kind of just started to kind of delve back into some of the older kits. You know, I built monogram kits when I was a kid, but this is a cool kit. I'm building that one, and I've also got a the Revell DO217E4 that I've been working on for a little while. It's going to be kind of a Night Fighter scheme, and I haven't quite got the guts up yet to paint the wave or the mirror, whatever, what is it, that wave mirror camouflage on top. You know, I'm talking about the little swirls and stripes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I need to break something down and practice for a little while, because most of the time I'll just dive in and I don't want to screw this one up. I'm pretty proud of it so far. So I guess those are the two that are on my bench at the moment. I've been working on some figure painting. I'm trying to be Calvin Tan. I'm just not even close. I don't know if you're familiar with his figure painting, but he is something else. That's for sure. That's for sure. He's mostly at least on some of the articles that I've seen, he uses all acrylics, and that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to emulate that. And, you know, I've done okay, and you know, some of the armor stuff. It's incredibly. You have to have figures, I think, whenever you're doing armor. It just looks so much better. I can't just set a tank there. Just for some reason, it just doesn't look right without a guy popping out a hatch, you know.
So. And that just to me, that adds just so much more realism. And there's been a couple of, I shared a few pictures online. There's actually a lot of great little vignettes and small dioramas that are being shared online, especially on Facebook. And some of these things are just, you could just spend an hour just looking at something that's probably, you know, the size of a coffee cup in overall dimension. And the person who built it is just captured every detail.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be that there's a lot more of mixture of water and soil and a lot of underwater stuff coming out. You know, guys are doing a lot of underwater techniques, and that is just unbelievably cool.
Yeah, I saw a few of those, I guess, on Facebook, too, that I was just blown away by. Was that recently? All I remember is a guy, like, it looked like a guy diving into the water with Germans shooting at him. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one, too, and the guy really even got the rounds penetrating the water.
Yeah, it's wild. I was like, what the heck? How did you do this stuff? I mean, most of those guys are just so far beyond my skill level that I'm just like, and I'd like to say, oh, I just don't have time for that, but even if I did, I don't think I could do it, you know? But, I mean, I'm really, like I said, I bounce around on kits so much that I just want to finish something here. I probably do 4 or 5 a year. I probably finish between 4 and 5 models a year on a, you know, or eight on a very, very good year. So, you know, I've got those couple of kits running, and I've got a couple others that are really close. And I always hit a snag, you know, that makes me stop. I've got, an A4, and it's an A4Q, I guess it would have been, Argentinian Skyhawk, and man, it's all painted, everything's ready to go, I've got decals on it, and then I ran into the rudder, you know, on that Hasegawa kit, it has all the little ribs and stuff, and how am I going to put that sun decal on the rudder? And I looked at it for 2 seconds, and I said, well, this is going in the box, so I put it back in the box, and started building something else. I got into that, was it the Hobby Boss Yak? What is it, the Yak? The VTOL aircraft. Where are you? I'm looking up in my little.
Yeah, isn't that the Yak 9 or 23 or something? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, and I really wanted it. It's a 38.
Okay.
It's a Yak 38, and I just, you know, I wanted to build that thing, and I waited and waited for that kit to come out. It finally was released, and I couldn't get it anywhere. You know, 3 or 4 months later, finally I got the kit in, and I built it all the way up, and it's ready to paint, and I just stuck it back in the box just for whatever reason, you know. Fickle, fickle people we are.
Yeah, and I'm trying. I've sent them messages asking for somebody to be on the show, and that's AK Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen their paints and products? And they're doing a fantastic job showing what you can do with their products. And
mm-hmm.
some, But the modelers, is whoever's doing the modeling for them, just fantastic workmanship.
Right, right. Yeah, I've seen. I mean, I'm blown away by you know, just Facebook, just looking on there for 5 minutes every morning. I'm just kind of like, oh. And I'm definitely not one of the ones that says, oh, I'm going to throw my stuff in the, you know, throw my stuff in the road, let some cars run over and be done. But man, those guys are good. Sure.
Well, again, we'll just say that you're helping out somebody, a widow who has a collection of scale model kits. And if they email you, and there is a link on the show page, click on it, send Justin an email, and he can share with you the list of kits that are available and the suggested purchase price. Help this lady find some closure by helping her liquidate her husband and her late husband's collection.
Yep, most definitely. I appreciate it, Gerald. Hopefully we can get some of this stuff moved.
I hope so. It'll just make things better, and appreciate you helping out a neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
You heard it. My stash is for sale. I'm not giving up on scale modeling, but looking forward to taking scale modeling on the road with me as we travel. Who knows? You might see me, as well as Chippy, at your IPMS chapter meeting or event. If you want to be a guest or suggest a guest, if you want to promote your scale modeling event, organization, or to learn how you can support or sponsor the program, contact us by email. Our address is mailbag@theplasticscalemodelinghour.com. Fellow scale modeling enthusiasts, remember, it's not the workbench that makes the model. It is the modeler at the workbench. This is Hawkeye. I hope to see you soon. It has been my pleasure bringing you another episode of The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour, talk radio for scale modelers. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour is produced, copyrighted, and syndicated by 0 to 60 Marketing, LLC, Neenah, Wisconsin. Accelerate your business with 0 to 60 Marketing. The reproduction or rebroadcasting of this program is prohibited without the written consent of 0 to 60 Marketing. Until next time, see ya!